Oh, there it is. When you hear that kick-ass song, look at me, look at my beautiful co-host, look at me, look at my co-host, look at this, hear the song. This is What's in the Box, episode 28. Thank you guys so much for joining us here on a beautiful Saturday afternoon. It's warming up just a little bit in Austin, but I'm still going through the cold. Christian, how are you doing? Because I know I shouldn't complain where I'm at versus where you are at in Philly, right?
Right. It's 10 degrees on Monday. So, you know, I don't want to hear any bitching about Texas. How cold does it get in Texas? Does it snow there?
No, not since I've been here, but I mean, it got cold. It got so cold now. Now I can't complain because you were talking about 10 degrees. It was like in its 30s, and I'm like, I can't do this shit, dude. I can't do cold, man. I'm a Floridian. I traded the warm weather to come here. I didn't want to deal with the humidity, but instead I'm dealing with this horrible shit, man. So I don't know, but no one didn't come here to hear me bitch about weather, right? So we got a lot of shit to talk about today. I'm going to let this song kind of play out. And while we do that, I want to make sure we are up and live with the chat-a-tat-tat. How are you guys doing? Look at that. There's already so many people here. Thank you guys so much for joining us. And of course, more importantly, we also cannot start the show without pimping out the website that I am on and representing, and that is doubletoasted.com. So ladies and gentlemen, go ahead and go to doubletoasted.com for the official merch that you can pick up in the store. Get your hoodie, get your signature black tee with the white logo, and so much more. So now, let me go ahead and cut this. Okay. And as Christian has done for me in the beginning of the month, he always makes this beautiful poster of what we have to talk about. And Christian, we are nearing the end of January. Is this actually the last weekend of January before we jump into February?
Yeah, man. I got a new list to make next week.
But oh, yeah, man. So listen, Kingdom is going to be the big thing to talk about. And we've been neglecting True Detective. How dare us? God damn it. We are going to show some love to True Detective on top of Kingdom as well. Not to mention the Umbrella Academy. We got the Boys trailer. We're going to be talking about the whispers, Christian, because people still somehow give a shit about The Walking Dead. I don't know about you, but we're going to be talking about that. And then what else do I have in my little itinerary here? Oh, is Resident Evil jumping on board Netflix for new TV series? We'll have to wait. So let's go ahead and now jump into the first thing I got here. And that is Mr. Torres, The Umbrella Academy dropped a new trailer for Netflix. Let's go ahead and play that. And I'll let you lead with the discussion when we come back.
In October 1989, 43 women around the world gave birth. None of these women had been pregnant when the day first began.
How much do you want for it?
I have adopted 6 children. Gifted with abilities far beyond the ordinary. I give you the Umbrella Academy.
Does anyone wish to speak?
He was a monster.
Everything about our family is insane. It always has.
Is that my skirt?
Oh, yeah, this. It's very breathy on the bits.
Nice to see nothing's changed. I jumped forward and got stuck in the future. Do you know what I found? Absolutely nothing.
When's it supposed to happen?
In 8 days.
Oh, shit.
The ground.
There's someone out there who's trying to stop me from preventing the apocalypse.
We need the full force of the Academy.
Bingo.
Yay, sisters.
Yay, sisters.
Get up. We're going.
Where?
Save the world.
Oh, is that all?
All right, there it is. Christian, what do you think of the Umbrella Academy?
I've told you before that I really hate Gerard Way, like with a passion. I'm not sure why. I just think he's a total douchebag. But the problem is he's a pretty good writer, and the Umbrella Academy comics are really good. And, you know, I know he was really hands-on with this adaptation. And for me, anyway, the aesthetics look awesome. Like, it seems like, and this is actually a really good thing that we started with, because when we talk about The Widow later, remind me to bring this point back up, which is that Netflix is going out there and acquiring properties that are that event type of deal, right? That seem like, oh shit, everyone's going to be talking about this, buzz, buzz, buzz. And it just seems like no one else can keep up. So my initial thoughts, but what are you thinking, man? You're the uninitiated.
Yeah, no, there's a lot I definitely don't know going into this, even with Gerard Way, you know, who wrote the comics, you said, right?
Yeah, Mike Hemingway wrote the comics.
Yeah, listen, I see these image reveals. I think this is cool. This is different. This is still, however, in the same veins of that comic book superhero wave we keep on riding. And a lot of people always have to bring it up, Christian, right? When are we going to reach the peak? Where are we going to stop? And, you know, we have another story, which is going to be in the same veins of what we're talking about. I don't see this train stopping anytime soon. And again, because I am just a geek myself, I like this. I like everything I see. However, I have to bring it back to you and now ask, okay, well, to the average Joe who's finished watching Avengers or who's done with Justice League films in the movie theaters, would something like this appeal to them? I don't know.
Well, yeah, I mean, it really depends on kind of what you're looking for, but the cool conceit of the comic is that it actually takes place in like this alternative universe where Kennedy was never assassinated. So yeah. It's already like this weird divergent point from the history that we know. So you can look at it, and even though that it's, you know, like supposed to be in the past, it's kind of like a science fiction-y feel. So, I mean, I don't know. It just looks cool. I mean, it looks like everyone on board's having a blast, and it looks like, more importantly, Netflix didn't skimp on the bill. Because didn't it look really expensive? Like, everything looked good. It didn't look like there was any cheesy green screen or CGI or any of that.
Yeah, no. Go ahead. I'm sorry. I cut you off.
I was just going to say that, you know, when you see that kind of, like, budget that they're throwing into it, it just has to give you a vote of confidence. I mean, I know Netflix has deep pockets, but generally they don't want to sink money into something that's not going to make money back. Mm-hmm. So I think that that's just a real vote of confidence that it looks that good.
Look, and there's a talking chimpanzee. I don't know what's happening, Christian. So now I'm definitely curious to see what's happening. But jokes aside, yeah, you're right. It looks like they have a good, you know, production cost into this. Everything I'm seeing with the costume designs look really great. And yeah, it looks like they are dumping money into this because this could be another angle, right, to hook you as a consumer to get you to talk about something in 2019. And this already comes out, what, February the 15th? So it is already around the corner. Christian, do you have any last words before we jump into the next topic?
Yeah, just like one quick addendum to what you were saying about if the wave is finally going to crash. And I don't know if we're there yet. I think that you're going to see, this is like a weird comparison, but, you know, Deadly Class is premiering officially, I think today or yesterday it was supposed to premiere. Yeah. We reviewed it a couple of weeks back. But that's like sci-fi going out and getting their property to kind of adapt from comic books. And now Netflix, and you're going to kind of see, as much as I like sci-fi, and I know they've made strides lately, they don't have the budget to compete with Netflix. And I think that's why, you know, Umbrella Academy is going to be way better than Deadly Class ultimately. So it's something to keep our eye on for the next couple weeks.
Yeah. And you know what? That's actually going to be a nice, interesting compare and contrast. You know, once we see both shows kind of like finish their course at the end of February. So we'll, look out for that, guys. So the next story I have here is also continuing on the trend of superheroes from Amazon, and it is called The Boys. I'm going to go ahead and play that trailer, and Christian, I will let you lead as soon as we're done talking, or as soon as I'm done playing it.
Job one is supporting the 7 brave heroes who put themselves in harm's way each and every day for us.
Fuck the 7?
Ah!
All right, summer of 2019. That is The Boys. Christian, what do you think of what you just watched?
Well, first of all, yeah, got the comic right here. Big fan. Garth Ennis, who did Preacher and did the Punisher Max run. So, you know, I'm a big fan of the source material. Here's my reservation about it. So Seth Rogen and Evan Goldberg, sorry. They are the people, well, you know Seth Rogen, but they went and adapted Preacher for AMC. And you know it's like my favorite fucking comic ever, and I hate that show. It just seems like a complete misunderstanding of the characters, and like, it's whatever. You know, I shouldn't be complaining because the fact that it's being embraced and it's going to be it's renewed for a fourth season, that's an achievement. These are comics after all. I should like that they're being adapted. Mm-hmm. But that's what worries me about The Boys, man, because it's like, the cool twist here to whether we're oversaturating with superheroes is that the superheroes are assholes in this book, man. They think that they're gods. They don't give a shit about human life. And so The Boys are like a CIA sanctioned group that keeps these fuckers in check. So like already it kind of subverts that expectations of like, oh, superheroes are noble and they're going to be super altruistic, you know? So that prospect is exciting because it's something we haven't seen before, really. But again, I'm just like, I have no faith in Seth Rogen to make this right. Even though Future Man is fire, by the way. But yeah, what do you think, man?
Man, I look at this. I'm unsure. You know, within now everything you're telling me, I'm like, yeah, we'll have to wait and see. You know what it is? I just saw The Umbrella Academy. And there's something about The Umbrella Academy. When I look at that, I'm like, whoa, that looks really cool. But then when I see, you know, The Boys, I'm like, this looks like it can be cool. And I also feel like there's just a higher chance of this show just not performing to the level of our expectations, you know? And I'm really glad you brought that Preacher analogy because you got me to read the first volume of Preacher, and I thought it was amazing. And then, of course, you know, before even touching the show, I did see the pilot. I thought it was okay, but for you who really adored the comics and for you to be like, well, it's okay, and then ultimately not even living up to the expectations, I feel like that's what The Boys could be as well. So that's, you know, there's my two cents on it. Was there any last second things you want to mention with this?
Yeah, just like, you know, Amazon, it has to stock up somehow, dude. We're in an arms race for content and big budget things. And like I said, Bezos last year kind of made that whole call, like, bring me the next Game of Thrones. Now, I don't think The Boys is going to be the next Game of Thrones, but it shows that they are trying to go out there and get big, big content that they can adapt, because they know Netflix is kicking everyone's ass right now. So I think a lot's riding on this in terms of trying to be a financial success.
Yeah. Let's go ahead and see what the Toasties have to say. So Todd is saying, so this stuff is the Marvel replacements Netflix is going to push. And then Thomas is saying maybe the Titans can save them. Who knows? Listen, although we'd never review the last episode of Titans, for the most part, at least 2/3 of what we watch, Christian, I really enjoy Titans. So despite the pilot being kind of eh, let's see what else someone has to say here. Birdman is saying kind of, what's he saying? What is he saying here? Oh, Preacher 2, I dropped off super hard. Kind of looks like it. Yeah. So some alarming and pressing things that even you Toasties have to say or you know, add to. So we'll see what happens to it. But now, for the meat and potatoes of the show, Christian, because we got zombie after zombie after zombie topics to talk about, let's go ahead and talk about Resident Evil. So for people who don't know, the Resident Evil 2 remake game came out, and man, from both critics and the fans, Christian, this game has been doing phenomenally well. Are you going to go ahead and pick this game up?
Yeah, you know me, I really suck with gaming lately, but this, like, the inner 8-year-old in me would not forgive me if I didn't go pick it up, especially because I didn't think it was going to get the rave reviews that it's gotten. But, you know, Resident Evil is kind of a big deal in our childhood, right? Whether you played all of them or not, it was always around. Mm-hmm. And it's crazy that, like, some 20 years later, we're still talking about it. So, yeah, man, it's awesome.
Yeah, so let's go ahead and talk about Resident Evil, because it says here, Netflix and Constantine Films, these were the people who were behind the Resident Evil movies, are at the helm now for a new TV series being produced for Netflix. It's going to be live action, and although it's going to definitely cater around the whole Resident Evil universe, you know, throwing in Easter eggs and stuff like that, they still kind of want to make it different. So this is a little troubling when I hear this, where I'm like, wow, it couldn't be in such amazing time with the new Resident Evil game coming out. And yet we end up hearing, well, you would think a live action Netflix Resident Evil show would sound enticing. But then when you also add into the fact that the people who made the movies are now trying to, you know, maybe exploit what they did into a longer TV shows, I am a little worried. How do you feel about a Resident Evil Netflix show coming around the corner?
Well, I mean, I think that it's something that we can be cautiously optimistic about, but let's not get holier than thou about Resident Evil too. It's not like a perfect franchise. It's not like there haven't been bad games in the series, right?
For sure.
Like the highs are incredibly high. The lows are pretty low. But more than anything, they've created a really interesting mythology, right? The sandbox is already there. It's kind of like Star Wars now, right? So I know they suspended all the Star Wars stories thing, mm-hmm. but the idea of like, we already know that universe. We know who the good guys, the bad guys are. You could just tell separate stories within it. I think Resident Evil absolutely has a universe that they built up. And, you know, I hope they don't rely too much on the movies. Forgive me. I just do not like those movies very much. There's a couple good ones, but this is kind of an opportunity to go in and pay respect to the lore, but also do something different in a long form thing. Because I think we all love these games. They're long games. And I feel like a series is actually a better way to pace out the kind of beats that you would have in the Resident Evil video games anyway.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, we'll have to wait and see what happens with that. I mean, listen, I've been watching so much reviews for this. Dude, I heard nothing but great things. So hopefully, you know, we'll get something good out of it, you know, when the productions are finally more in motion and all that stuff. It was just a breaking news thing that just came out in my lap last second, so I figured I'd talk about it. But now let's go ahead and get into the bulk and why a lot of people are tuning in right now, and that is Kingdom. So let me go ahead and play this trailer on Netflix, and then we will be back with our review on this zombie time period piece.
장례 준비를 하거라.
어떻게 사람이 사람을 먹어!
Right, ladies and gentlemen, and Kingdom, the show that already came out on Netflix yesterday, January 25th, is the biggest craze a lot of people are talking about. And Christian, I know zombies have become one of the biggest double-edged swords recently in our times, right? With people riding it too high, and then there's lots of lows. But when you see a show like Kingdom, where it's like, let me get this straight. So it is a zombie show in a period piece, and now we see pretty much the early beginnings, or at least in Korea, for the show about how a zombie plague has spread an entire kingdom, and it's up to the crown prince to maybe go ahead and investigate with his bodyguard to figure out what the hell is really happening around us. So, with the few episodes that you have watched, Christian, what do you think of Kingdom?
Again, arms race, right? So doesn't look cheap at all. Like everything looks immaculate. The cinematography is wonderful. All that jazz is cool. Even like the atmosphere, like the show starts and I think it's 5 minutes before anyone says a word. Like they take their time with pacing. Like this is, these are like mostly hour longs. And I mean, not 45 minutes, like 55 to 57 minutes each episode. So they have time to kind of breathe and do stuff in it. I've only seen the first two episodes, but in those first two episodes, I've seen like straight up love letters to George Romero, like doing some Night of the Living Dead shit, you know, shadow shots and whatnot. What I like about it the most, though, is that predominantly the zombies are window dressing. Like there is a whole complete story of betrayal and intrigue and stuff that's completely removed from the zombies. And that's what I like, because it's like, it, you know, they fully realized the world they wanted to have the story in first. And then they were like, and we can have zombies. most of the time, like some shows, lesser shows would kind of just rely on the crux, Walking Dead. But this one really builds the world up and makes you care about people. And it's got some Game of Thrones overtones to me. What do you think, man? Give me your real, you know, deep thoughts onto it.
Yeah, I like the show a lot. There's two things I've noticed when I actually saw some other people review Kingdom that I don't know how they kind of glossed over is, you know, when I hit you up, I said, this is not the show that I wanted. Like, so let's talk about it for a bit, right? Kingdom starts off with some beautiful cinematography. And actually, let me just kind of make that a point. I think throughout the show, when you look at the cinematography this show has to offer, you're like, wow, Netflix spent, you know, went above and beyond to even, you know, I feel like the pitch of this show would have been like, yeah, they could have half-assed it, but they went 100% with the set design, the production, you know, those wide view shots that you get when you watch this show. Fantastic, amazing, gorgeous. I cannot praise that enough. So now when we actually kind of talk about the plot and all that stuff, we get certain characters, right? Where you get let me find this here on my notes here, the crown prince with his bodyguard, right? Where they pretty much have to go out and off to this adventure, figuring out what really is happening around us. So when I was watching it in English, right? You know, sometimes I would have trouble just misunderstanding what they're saying, because when you find out what the show is, they talk like this. Some people might like it. Some people immediately might get turned off. It bothered me. It didn't bother me that much. But I noticed when I was watching it in English, right? Throughout the episode, even when I would put subtitles on, you know, they would explain certain things, and I felt like the people who were doing the acting, right, who was doing the English dubs, they weren't really getting the message across, or they were doing it in a comedic tone. Now, let it be said, there is corny comedic moments in this, right? But it felt like it was this serious show I wanted to watch with these comedy moments, and I'm like, ugh. Why are you doing that? Because I felt like I was watching something really good, and then they'll do some really cheesy character moments that I wouldn't necessarily agree with. And then I did something interesting, Christian. Then I actually put it in the original language that, you know, that was on, Korean. So now I'm watching it in Korean dub with English subtitles. It's the show now I want to watch.
Yeah, I don't understand why you're... This is one of those things. You watch animes dubbed, don't you?
Yeah, I do.
Okay, mm-hmm. So that's what happened, man. For me, I turned that shit on and it was immediately in Korean. So I had no idea. Anytime you watch anything dubbed, it just takes you out of it immediately, because it's almost like you fall into that uncanny valley where people's lips are still moving, but the words aren't syncing up, and it gets you fucking disoriented and shit.
Yeah.
So yeah, I think it's a completely different experience. But like, just from the get, like, that's why I think we... Like, when you texted me, I was so worried. I'm like, oh, shit, what if it's just a misstep? And it's not that. You just didn't see it the right way. And that, I think that we should recommend that, right, as a show. Like, please watch it in the native language. Like, just absolutely. Read. Trust me. It comes across way better. You understand characters' emotions and their intent better. But, yeah, I honestly just thought they did a great job of setting up the tone. They have, like, these beats, dude, that are straight horror film. Like, all right, so spoiler, there's a scene in the beginning, right? There's a body that gets brought back. Dead. We saw it briefly there in the coffin.
Yeah.
And mm-hmm. they bring it back to this town where everyone's starving. And then, you know, a couple scenes later, everyone's eating and everyone's real happy. And I'm like, they didn't do this, did they? They didn't really, like, just waiting for them to subvert the expectation. But no, dude, yeah. Like, you know what the fuck happened. And they just milk it so perfectly. Cause, like, dude, how funny is it when people are just eating? Like, have you ever seen anyone that happy eating like a bone before? Like, it was the dude. Worst fucking foretelling ever.
You know what's so bad, and that's like one of the things. I mean, listen, they have to do the setup, right? So I understand it, but for people, you know, to give some more context, right? Like, the Sobi is actually the physician, right? The nurse, the village nurse, trying to cure people. And there's a moment where she's talking with one of the guys she ends up healing. And she's like, man, like, our people were hungry, and I don't think, like, the kingdom that's supposed to, like, watch us, they're not going to give us food. Like, we're kind of screwed here. So, of course, you know, now let's go to this shot where one of the main physicians is trying to figure out pretty much the outbreak or the origins of the zombies, right? And, you know, we see this. Sobe goes up to the physician. He's like, hey, what's wrong? Did you figure out anything? And he's like, I can't talk. So now, of course, now we get to this the scene here. And Sobe, who helped out that one guy that's like, well, listen, we got to help out our people somehow. He ends up now making food, right, out of nowhere. And, of course, Christian, we get that corny moment in the episode where just like, wow, over-the-top acting, but it's okay. Wow, this is fantastic. I can't believe I'm eating so well. And everyone's cheerful and they're happy. And now they want to know the origins of the zombie apocalypse. I wonder what happened. Maybe it wasn't the dead person that eventually became soup for everyone, right? And of course, when you get that that realization of a finger in the soup, it's like, how could you to this one guy? He's like, well, I got to go and protect my people, of course, right? Or I got to protect everyone in this village. Then, you know, we get the beginnings of this zombie apocalypse. But there's moments where I hate that character. The guy who pretty much started this zombie apocalypse to help out his people. Because there's moments where he's like, you guys got to listen to me. These undead people, that they don't have a mind of their own and they're crazy. And it's your fault, right? When he talks to other people throughout the episode about it spreading. When I'm here thinking, listen, it was pretty much said in the beginning when you see a person like this eaten not by a boar, but flesh everywhere, that something kind of messed up has happened. So you pretty much caused a zombie apocalypse, but you want to blame it on someone else. You're an asshole, dude. Just saying. So, but I'm getting too carried away with something really minute here. Christian, what else were you entangled with, you know, when you were watching this show?
Well, I just like the whole concept of like the initial outbreak isn't from a zombie biting a human, but humans consuming zombies. Like it's kind of a subversion of what you normally get from zombie films, right? Mm-hmm. So it's like, yeah, this guy was dead, sure, but that's not what started the big spread. It was everyone eating his dead body afterwards, not knowing that he was a zombie. So I kind of like that. I just thought that was an interesting concept for it. The other cool thing is like, again, there's just political intrigue, right? Like we kind of skipped over the crown prince is also accused of trying to have his father killed. You realize that his like stepmom is pregnant with a legitimate heir, and you know there's like all this fucking moving parts going around, and then zombies, which is like the best part of it. So I feel like it's a really rewarding show, man, because it's not resting just on that we got dead fuckers walking around. It's like really created an interesting, intricate world with a bunch of characters, and yeah, there's comedic moments, but that's kind of a staple of Asian cinema, man. Like even like the ones that permeate to the West, you know, you think of like Shaolin Soccer, Kung Fu Hustle, any of that kind of stuff. They always have those comedic moments that are a little bit over the top, but it's in service of the tone that they're trying to set. And I think that that's what's really cool about this show. It's funny at parts, but when it needs to get serious and fucking intense, the lighting is perfect. The music is amazing. Like all of it really clicks for me. And I just think it's great that Netflix is starting to go international and bring a lot of these shows to the forefront, because I probably wouldn't have heard of this if it wasn't this easily available.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, let's go ahead and just I want to add to what you were saying. You're right. So there's actually some deeper stuff that, although this is still pitched as a zombie show period piece, right, set out in Korea in the 15th century, I do like how there's some actual Game of Thrones plot stuff happening here, right? And you see here in the image where it's like, oh, the feudal lord doesn't look so healthy. Only to find out that, you know, one of their ambitious minister kind of wants to take over, but still has to keep the king alive. So you see some stuff dealing with, you know, treasonous acts, some people plotting over people to kind of get what they want, right? You get some of some of the other like feudal lords throughout the show that, you know, they in their heart, they want to do the right thing to save the people, but then they have that sleazeball assistant that's like, yes, yes, I took care of everything. You don't have to worry about anything else, you know, for the deal with his own selfish desire. So there's lots of great things in the show that I like, and I cannot recommend enough, because you're right, the zombies are the supporting cast in this, and it's pretty much forwarding the story to go where it ends up going. But they're not the main focal points. It's pretty much, you know, crown prince here trying to figure out what the hell do I need to do to stop all this. But on top of all that, dealing with the bureaucracies of, you know, the bureaucracies of the setting that he's in, right? So, yeah, I thought it was pretty good. And let me see what else I had here on my notes that I wanted to say here.
Well, quick thing, I'll just say it's only six episodes, too. So it's not like a major commitment. And it's, you know, it's like a quick watch it, and it's already renewed for season two. So you know you're going to get some kind of continuation.
Mm-hmm. I did want to add one more thing, and it is the zombie lore itself. So they do something interesting, and I won't get too heavy into the spoilers of it all. I do like how these zombies in this show, they're only up at night. So when it's, you know, when we're at the crack of dawn and it's 5 a.m, we need to get to work, right? Either, you know, bury the bodies or do what you have to do to eliminate the zombies, which, of course, a lot of people know what it is. But for the sake of spoilers, I won't mention it, right? So I do like that angle. And there's one scene I thought was just kind of hilarious where, you know, after the whole after the zombies take over, right? They destroy one of the villages. When the nearby villages are like, oh my God, what do we have to do to get out of here, right? Like, you know, like, what do we do? And then they end up finding out the, you know, how to stop the zombie problems, right? And this one feudal woman, like this higher up, she's like, you know, if we bury the bodies or if we, you know, discriminate these corpses, you know, what does that say about our old ancestor traditions and all that? And to that, I'm like, wow, I like how they kind of add, you know, this ancestry traditions, you know, with the Korean era, right, in the 15th century. I thought all that is really cool. At the same time, I'm watching this lady give this speech, and you know, everyone, because the acting is over the top sometimes, they're like, oh, you're right. Like, what should we do now? Like, I don't know how else to get out of this. And I'm here thinking as an audience viewer, baby girl, we just survived this fucking shit we never heard of. I don't give a shit about what my ancestor says. I don't want to become one of them, okay? Get the fuck out of here. So something I just wanted to quickly mention, because when I saw that, I just laughed and I don't know. I just wanted to throw it out there. So, Christian, is there any last second thoughts you want to bring up with Kingdom?
Nah, man, you just blew my mind with that last bit. But just go watch it. It's fucking great. I really like it. And again, it's not like it's not 22 episodes. It's 6 episodes only. So get on it. We're going to do probably a full review next week. So if you guys have seen it, you can chip in the conversation. And of course, we encourage that. So get to watch it.
Yeah. So let's go ahead and see what the Toasties have to say. Let me find you guys on the chat. All right. So let's see.
Zombies are getting me. That's what's up.
Oh, zombies are getting you. Is that what the chat is saying? Yeah. all right. Yes. Yeah, so what do you guys know? Or what do you guys know? What do you guys want out of Kingdom? Was this the show you wanted? Was this the show you didn't want? I forgot to say, go ahead and comment down below what you think of Kingdom so far. Christian, this is one other thing I wanted to mention. You're right. It is only 6 episodes. I think it tells its story pretty quickly. And although episode 1 is a lot of world building and set building, I think there's a lot of great payoffs throughout the show. So go ahead and watch that. And now let's go ahead and talk about some zombie shit that you and I, you know, we just don't give a shit about, man. But don't worry. Shh. The whisperers are coming. So let's go ahead and play this shit from The Walking Dead, because I don't know who's still watching the show, but it's still big enough to warrant the news coverage anyway. You better
watch out. What happened? Maybe that would happen anyway. But now we know. There's a new enemy.
Die now.
You're more like us than them. We don't belong with these people.
Spirit could be our last chance.
What does it mean for Alexandria to survive if the kingdom falls?
It means Alexandria survives.
Well.
Home sweet home.
Oh, man. Holy shit. Wow. I don't care about any of that, Christian. I'm going to be very transparent to a lot of you. I don't give a shit. What do you think about Whisperers, Christian.
Do I have to talk about this? Like, I don't know. I've made my feelings on Walking Dead so fucking clear at this point that, I would say this. This is the first time in a while where I didn't have that,
Christian,
like...
the Whisperers are coming, dude. They're more us than we are them. Or whatever the fuck they said. Go ahead.
I'm just saying that it's, you know, this is the first time where, you know, the Walking Dead has a really good thing that they do where they make you feel like an abused wife who keeps coming back for more. Right. Like they always do just enough in the trailer to make me want to be like, all right, well, that looks kind of interesting. I could give less than a fuck about anything that is going on in this trailer. And it also kind of depresses me because the Whisperers don't look that cool. You know what I mean? Like I when you get a close up to them, it just looks really like a mask as opposed to what we all thought, which was like the tattered and torn pieces of flesh that they kind of were wearing, you know, like fucking people suits. Mm-hmm. So I don't know, dude, it just looks fucking bad and I don't care. And it makes me depressed because the first couple episodes of the last season were pretty good. Actually, they did a lot of good world building stuff. And then in true Walking Dead fashion, they're really good at starting, but they don't know how to fucking finish anything. And so I have no faith in this, man. I don't know how much more I could possibly talk about this. What about you?
Okay. Listen, let me at least be a little fair, right? And just like every Walking Dead spectacular fashion, I see this trailer and I'm like, wow, it looks like they're finally going to figure out their shit. It looks like it's now going to be it's going to jump up from an okay show to the great show that we were expecting. Do you remember like the Monday Night Wrestling Wars from like WCW and WWF? It was like, I remember there was a time where like Walking Dead would just showing up Sunday nights at the same time of HBO, and I'm like, fuck, I don't know which one I want to watch because I actually compared the two, how dare I, on the same levels, right? Don't worry, we're going to get you this season, DJ Miles. And then it goes from, it starts out great, to it's okay, they do some dumb shit, rinse and repeat, and it's become so formulaic, I don't care. I don't care. But... But Christian, what you gonna do, brother, when the Whisperers are coming in town, man?
Don't do this to me. I have no desire to talk about this fucking show anymore, dude.
What are the Toasties? Like, are you guys like making fun of me too? Are you like, no, DJ Mods, you're going too hard? I'm curious to know what all of you guys have to say because I'm done with this show. I don't give a shit about this show. Rick is gone. That was their last chance, dude. And we were abused 10,000 times. You're right. We were in that abusive relationship where I'm like, let me wait, y'all. Just wait, guys.
Maybe he can change. Maybe he can change if only we try to change him. That's like the fucking bullshit relationship we always had. And then you're right, dude. That was the final nail in the coffin was the Rick of it all. And look, it was bad for a long, long time before that. But wasn't that the last moment where you're like, oh, go fuck.
No, I was pretty much like, yeah,
wasted
no.
A decade of my life watching it. Sorry.
No. It's okay. Listen, it's like the internet doesn't even want you to participate in this conversation anymore because The Walking Dead is just fucking horrible now. I don't care what anyone says. But who knows, Christian? Maybe there's some great buzz.
I know. It's over. Fuck off. Let's stop talking about this.
All right, so for people who do care, though, right, after we just pretty much ripped it a new one, the second half is coming out when? What? Let me find the trailer for it here. What does it say here? Returns February, AMC. I'm trying to play what Mr. Jeffrey Dean Morgan has for us, Christian. Choo-choo-choo. Yeah, not even you, Jeffrey Dean Morgan, can save this shit. So, anyway, why are we still talking about this? Let's go ahead and talk about something else. Let's go ahead, as we were talking about superheroes earlier, there's a show called American Gods, which is coming out on Amazon, which you told me about earlier when we started doing the show, Christian. So let's go ahead and play off the new trailer from American Gods for season 2.
When people first came to America, they brought us with them. We are the ancient ones. And they built churches, cathedrals, or they'd erect a stone circle.
Dear God, I hope you got the letter and I pray you can make it better down here.
Gradually they abandoned us. Old, forgotten gods. Now there are new gods growing in America.
I can't believe it.
And they want to destroy us. War's a coming, Shadow. I have a big role for you. Time to ride. Where am I? Did that happen? There's something special going on here, and I feel a part of it.
He is dangerous. I need you to believe that.
There's always a cost with him. Just haven't paid it yet.
War begins.
I'm going to take him out. No, you take them all out.
This is America.
Greatest story ever told. Are we ready? I am.
There it is, American Gods. March 11, 2019 is when the new season comes out. And let me go ahead and say, although this is a superhero show, not a superhero show, Amazon has a lot of catching up to do in regards of the streaming competition, right, to compete with the juggernaut that is Netflix. So although I haven't seen season one, you saw season one, haven't you, Christian?
Yeah, I saw season one. Quick correction. It's actually Starz. It's like
Starz. Okay.
It's not Amazon. Yeah.
My bad.
We're going to get roasted if we don't fucking correct that. So I just wanted to say that. Yeah, I saw season one. I really loved it. It was by Brian Fuller, the guy who did Hannibal. So just like you could tell immediately it was by the same guy because the set design and everything was perfect. Season two, they fired him because they had a disagreement on the direction of the show. So I'm a little less excited, but I really love the book. And just the premise of it is just that, you know, like the gods that we brought like immigrants who came to this country, they brought their gods with them because the devils couldn't cross the sea, right?
Mm-hmm.
So the old gods are here, but then now we've created new gods, consumerism, right? Fucking addiction to popularity, blah, 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 blah. And the show kind of talks about that, the conflict, the war of the gods, the old gods and the new gods. So like Ian McShane in there is like Odin, you know what I mean? They call him Mr. Wednesday. That's like his, but he's Odin from the, you know, Norse mythology. You have like Gaelic gods in there and whatnot. And so it's really great, man. It's a really cool kind of crazy cosmic road trip of a show. And season two still looks really good, even if the showrunners changed.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, no, it definitely looks interesting. This is also another show like The Boys I'm cautiously optimistic about. So I don't know. I mean, I see some things that I like, some things I'm not too particularly crazy on. But now this is just me being like, I'm going to be very honest here, too. I'm literally judging a book by its cover. So I don't know what to expect. It looks like something that I'm like, oh, it looks like the perfect definition of like some rental, right? Where it's like, oh, it's in the background and I'm entertained, but I'm not really giving my full attention to it. But, you know, you said if it did a good job basing it from the book, you were saying?
Well, yeah, they took some liberties, but it is pretty faithful other than that. They got like a new showrunner, but the problem with the new showrunner was that Starz sidelined him at some point because they were 2 months behind production. So like there's just a lot of production problems with the show. I know Neil Gaiman is being more hands-on and he was the guy who wrote the book. So, I mean, I'm hoping maybe they can course correct some of the problems, but I would say this, if you watch it, man, the first season I think is only 8 episodes and it is the most visually arresting show you will see this year. So okay. If there's nothing else I will say, you might have a problem with the story, but you're going to love the way it fucking looks.
Okay. So everyone check that out. American Gods. It is around the corner season two. So go ahead and check that out. Next up, Christian, we've been neglecting Mahershala Ali for the longest time this month, man. True Detective came out. And I didn't know what angle you wanted to do with this story. If we were talking all season three, because I know you said you were going to do some like homework with season two and all that stuff.
Right. Well, yeah, season two has no bearing on this. But for season three, I think we should kind of talk about it and kind of stack it against the previous seasons. So we can do that any way you want to do that. I will turn that table over to you, sir.
Yeah, so let's go ahead and just actually play the trailer from season 3 of True Detective one more time to catch up people on this story, and then we'll go ahead and give you our thoughts on what we think of the latest season.
Before you ever knew me, I wasn't scared much. I wasn't a fearful man.
I'll be back before the sun goes down, you understand?
Yes, sir! Yes, sir.
Those kids, my kids, my wife. My whole brain's a bunch of missing pieces.
Mr. Hayes. Mr. Hayes.
What?
Have you sat back over the last 2 decades and thought about the sheer number of fatalities surrounding this case? What happened?
Can I tell you a secret? I used to be something of a mess.
That might be the least surprising thing I've ever heard.
What about you? Your clip-on tie's as crazy as you get?
No, God, no. But I'd like to pretend normal with you for as long as I can.
Purple Haze, how you been, killer?
Woke up this morning after another one of those crazy...
Will and Julie. I can't find them anywhere.
That's when it all started with the town. It's panic. Right this
morning. I'm writing about the investigation now.
Everything is wrong. As much about us as anything.
I think you use people.
Like we're all stories to you.
I'm not gonna stop, Wayne.
Oh, I guess it's the chain that binds.
It's like a thing staring right at us. Got that feeling myself. No, it's just a case when I caught it. I know it'd be my last.
With you, I need to know everything.
Things you better off not knowing. We don't stop, all right?
Finish it.
There it is, man. I'm watching that trailer. I'm like, I'm getting hype watching this show. Listen, for people who were curious who have seen True Detective Season 1 and unfortunately saw Season 2 are probably wondering, well, DJ Miles and Mr. Torres, is Season 3 back to true form? And to that, I say yes. But that is also a double-edged sword as we get with this conversation here, right? One of the things that I've noticed with True Detective Season 3 is that... to its benefit, and maybe not, that it's too similar to season one, right? And I guess when you do a great show like season one of True Detective, starring Matthew McConaughey and Woody Harrelson, where it was just so different at it, you know, when it came out in what? Was it 2014, 2012?
2013.
Yeah, 2013. Yeah. I mean, this was a show everyone talked about. Raving about. This was still during the Matthew McConaughey and all that stuff, and it was just such a great story where you had these two different detectives solving this crime, and as we figure out the journey on how they go about doing that, we end up finding out more about themselves, and Woody Harrelson and Matthew McConaughey were really great. There's a misstep with season two, but we won't really talk about that because when we bring up season three, we pretty much have the same story here, right? With Mahershala Ali and what's the other actor's name? His assistant or his partner? Stephen Wolf. Yeah, Stephen Wolf. So it's pretty much the same concept. But now there's two kids that end up getting kidnapped and we have to figure out where are they or are they still alive? And that's where we are with season three. So there's my little quick glimpse of it, but Christian, what do you think of True Detective season 3 so far?
Right. I mean, like you said, it's very similar to season 1 in terms of structure, but it does differentiate itself because it's become basically a darker Law and Order. You know what I mean? Like season 1 had all these like philosophical musings and blah, 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 blah. They share like an aesthetic similarity, but like you watched episode 3, right? Are you all caught up, Miles?
Yes, I am. Yeah.
Okay, so like that episode, nothing, no weird supernatural, none of that shit that we kind of identify with True Detective. It's just, you know, progressing the story, right? Like kind of, you know, moving the chess pieces where they needed to get to, which is fine in a procedural, but it just shows you that like, I think Nick Pizzolatto kind of felt the burn from season 2 and is trying to stray back to familiar territory. Also, I have this thing about season 2 where I do not think it's awful. I think it has some fucking problems. I think it's fascinating. And I'm also working, like you said, on a video essay. And it's going to take me a couple weeks. because I'm rewatching the show and I'm going to pinpoint what the fuck went wrong with it. But season three so far has avoided all those pitfalls, man. And I want to give special praise. I think everyone's great, but Mahershala Ali has to play himself in three different timelines. And in each timeline, he is distinctly different. You know, it's crazy. When you're playing like an elderly version of yourself, it's not enough just to make your voice go lower. It's just like everything about it is, it's his posture. It's the way his voice cracks when he says certain words. It's like such a nuanced performance. And I feel like this dude's going to get an Emmy from it. I haven't seen anything better on TV acting wise so far.
Go ahead.
So give me some back and forth here, man.
For sure. I was going to say Mahershala Ali is fantastic. Sometimes, you know, with that being said, I also feel like it's the Mahershala Ali show, right? And, Stephen Wolf kind of gets the back burner of things. But in episode three, from what we saw, they were actually featuring him more. So, you know, we'll see how the rest of the season plays out. And much like season one, like you were saying, we do get the timeline overlaps, right? But I like this because although we get three different timelines, right? The 80s, when the kidnapping first happened, to 10 years later, to what happened, to all the way up to 2015, where Mahershala Ali's character is now in his 70s. We also get that unreliable narration as well, too, from him, right? Trying to piece together the puzzles. But I like how they go back and forth because you don't get lost. It's very easy when shows like to do that flash forward, flashback scene. And sometimes they do a flashback scene with it being being blurry or like a black and white. This, they keep it kind of natural all throughout. And unlike fucking Westworld season two, which was my biggest problem, this is not confusing. This is very easy to follow when you go back 10 years back, or you go back, you know, when the crime first presented itself, to even where we are in 2015. They do in such a way where it's like, oh, it's easy to understand, and it's all slowly leading up to the present, right? When we watch this, going back to Westworld, they did things to confuse you just for the sake of confusing you, which made the overall plot just more harder to follow, you know? So I'm glad with something like this, they weren't, you know, they weren't trying to do that. They still leave you pieces to the puzzle to solve on your own, right, when you watch this. And at the same time, you still get now a deeper character understanding of Mahershala Ali's character, to his partner, to even the kidnapping, and of course the ominous and kind of scary settings that they're in, right? They are in the Ozarks, right? And you still get some creepy characters, or even the parents. Not necessarily creepy, but, you know, they're leading or not giving all the full information that, you know, they can. So.
No, man, I completely agree. I think that kind of to piggyback on what you're saying, it's like, to go back to season two briefly, it doesn't help its fact that it was just really fucking confusing. You know, in terms of like, you need to know about holding companies and fucking how bonds work and land property deals and fucking comptrollers. And if you don't know that kind of stuff, you're just like, I don't know or care. And I don't want to put in the effort to know or care. Like, this is very simple. Like, True Detective 1 starts, first scene, you see the fucking body. The crime's already revealed. And the first 10 pages of this, the kids go missing. So these kids left and it's about trying to find them. Right? It's just easy to understand. You can put yourself in those emotional shoes way easier than some corrupt cop trying to help a gangster who got his money stolen for a land deal. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's too complicated. So I really like what they're doing with it. I also think that the setting is really interesting because it's the first time that we've had a black protagonist, and it kind of permeates throughout the script, right? Like, there's a lot of pregnant pauses and looks and
some racial undertones. Kind of, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Right. I think that really adds something to it that wasn't necessarily there, because Mahershala Ali had to like lobby for the role. So I think that really helps out. I think the supporting cast is great. Stephen Dorff and Scoot McNairy and all those people. But yeah, so far I'm really digging it. The last thing I'm going to say is that the next episode is co-written by David Milch, who wrote Deadwood. It's one of my favorite writers ever. So I expect really, really big things. And I think that specifically because episode three was so quiet and so like chess moves being made, I think episode four is traditionally a big episode in True Detective arcs, right? Season four was the big shootout in season two and season one. So I think, that's something we have to look forward to.
So let me ask you, because I didn't want to confuse people when I said this was kind of like a double-edged sword, talking about True Detective. You know, now we see what the true recipe for success of a show like True Detective is all about, right? So although there's a lot of similarities from season 3 to season 1, you think going forward, if we do get a season 4, Christian, that this is what the show should kind of always be about and make it just grounded like that with two partners solving a crime, unreliable narration somewhere, different timelines, right? Like, is this the recipe for True Detective? And when I tell people this is what True Detective is all about, what they should look forward to, or something now they should kind of turn away because they're like, well, I mean, I'll see season 1 because everyone raved about that. But even, you know, I might skip season 3 because season 4 is coming around the corner and it might be too formulaic with the True Detective recipe. Does that make sense?
Yeah, no, I mean, listen, yesterday I did the DT roundtable and we talked about Glass. And in the middle of that, we talked about M. Night Shyamalan and whether at some point he just started writing around the twist. People then start going into your films expecting a certain thing. I don't necessarily think True Detective has to do this formula. It's proven that it works. I just think that what season 2 taught him, season 2 is going to go down as the most important thing that ever happened to this fucker's career, because it taught him how to fail and it taught him how to go back and like rewrite some shit. And to narrow the focus. The, you know, season 2 is just way too unfocused. It's sprawling, and maybe that's purposeful, but it just didn't land. It didn't connect like the first season did. So far, this one, like the writing and the directing are all syncing up, and it's like harmonious, which like you saw season 2 a little bit, man. It just never synced. It never felt right. You may say that this is slower so far than season 1, but you can't say that the atmosphere isn't working and it's not being fully built. So I can't wait for tomorrow's episode, man. And I can't wait to watch the rest of the season. I'm kind of back on the Pizzolotto train after the season 2 train wreck.
Yeah. No, same here. So let us know what you guys think of the latest season of True Detective. And all right, Christian, so we got one more story here. And that is, if I can pull it up, where in my notes is it? Oh, The Widow. Okay, so we got something from Amazon this time, starring Kate Beckinsale. Let's go ahead and play it, and then we'll be right back with our thoughts.
Where is my husband? My husband. My husband.
Georgia, people don't just walk away from a plane crash.
They don't just fall out of the sky and carry on with their lives.
You're chasing a ghost. A ghost. A ghost.
Hey, I left you something in the glove compartment.
Did you?
Happy anniversary.
Georgia, you really need to forget about all of this. He died on that plane.
They've never found his body.
They have reports of a survivor.
Is it him? Is it Will?
She thinks, boy, he faked his death. Why?
Do you think I'm crazy?
I think you miss your husband.
I promise you, I will find him.
We found transactions in your name. Big cash withdrawals after the crash.
I found something you need to see.
Husband, what happened to you?
Someone planted a bomb on that flight.
And we're gonna find out who.
Somebody just tried to have you killed. The only thing you should be doing is getting as far away from this place as you can. None of this makes any sense.
You should go home before anyone else gets killed.
What have you done with my husband?
Listen, well, if you don't find your husband, DJ Miles is right here. Just saying. So you're hot. Holler at me. listen, jokes aside, Christian, what do you think of The Widow here from what you watch? I'm not too particularly crazy, but I don't think it's going to be a bad show.
Right. What I know for a fact is you, again, prove that you have a type, and it's like 45-year-old British woman. That's what I found out. But I don't know, man. You know, I don't really like it, and this is the reason I wanted to show it, which is like, you're fucking up, Amazon. I like Kate Beckinsale. I love Charles Dance. Tywin Lannister's the shit. This is not the kind of show that's going to work for the masses. It's not going to be that Game of Thrones that you want. Mm-hmm. And they're over here canceling some of their smaller shows that are at least Emmy award-winning shows and stuff like that, but they're now pumping money into this shit. It just really bothers me, and it makes me feel that, look, Bezos has all the money in the world, right? Go fucking buy, like, go buy Sony or something. Like, get some, like, properties that you can then adapt and have big budget, like, event things. And I know they have Lord of the Rings on the horizon, but, like...
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. They had Lord of the Rings, yeah, so...
Right, and that's cool, which we'll see how that all pans out, because I think a lot of people are over Middle Earth because of the Hobbit movies. But I just feel like this isn't going to be the big hit that he wants it to be. And it just, I really wanted to show it just to kind of show the vast difference between Netflix and Amazon right now. It's not even close. And then you got Disney joining in next year, or this year rather. It's going to be a fucking bloodbath competition wise. So Amazon really needs to step up. And again, they need stuff like The Boys to perform, because I think that they're in danger of kind of falling behind, man.
No, that's wow. I'm actually glad you brought it that way, because usually, you know, whenever Christian and I come up with these stories, we're like, okay, let's do some trending stuff. Let's talk about some hidden stuff under the radar. And when I saw this, I'm like, I don't know where Christian wants to go with this, but I'm glad that you brought that in the vein of like, listen, here's Netflix. Here's Amazon. Now, again, everything's subjective. There's some people who are probably going to say they get more enjoyment out of watching, you know, Amazon originals than the Netflix stuff. But those are also Walking Dead fans, and we shouldn't even think they're important. So, but you know, I'm kidding.
Listen, I just want to say quickly that, like, Netflix runs off AWS, which is run by Amazon, okay? Like, so literally, Amazon has so much more money than Netflix that they could spend whatever they wanted in the streaming arms race. And we've seen them drop crazy amounts of money on Lord of the Rings, but that's really it, man. So I just think that they need to get on it, because I feel like Netflix is just fucking killing them. Now we got South Korean shows that are awesome. We got Netflix Africa next year. Like, it's, they're just going to keep going. So, you know, get it together, Amazon. That's all I'm saying.
Birdman was saying this is a prequel to Godzilla King of Monsters. Maybe. Who knows? That's everything we got right now. Let's go ahead and look at some emails real quickly, and then we'll wrap things up. Let's go ahead and start with Ken. Oh, he said The Boys trailer 2. We already got that. So thank you very much, nice. Ken. Marcus, let's see what Marcus Kilgore had to say. He says, what up, DJ Malls and Toast Moses? Can you name 1 to 2 failed movies from the past 10 years that could be revived on Netflix as a series? How should it be revived? Keep up the great work and stay toasties. Thank you, Marcus, for that. Once again, thank you for everyone watching. Let me go ahead and quickly say this is going to be a cop-out answer. I always knew when I saw Watchmen for the first time that I'm like, wow, I don't know a lot of what's happening in here. And I just felt like it would have been better adapted as a TV show, which we're going to get this year. So that's my first immediate answer that came up. But Christian, what do you have?
Oh, man, I don't know. So the question was like a movie that has come out in the last 10 years that failed that we could readapt, is what you're saying?
Yeah. Can you name 1 to 2 failed movies from the past 10 years that could be revived on Netflix as a series? And how should it be revived?
See, I would have said The Punisher, the Lexi Alexander version of it, but then they adapted it to the Marvel thing, which I don't really love the Marvel Punisher either. So maybe I didn't get what I wanted. But yeah, I'm sure there's a billion. I just cannot think of it for the life of me right now. I'm sorry. Marcus, I'll hit you up after the show. I'll just hit you up personally, and I'll let you know.
All right. And next up, we have another email from Ryan Walterson that says, I don't know if you two will be daring enough to see it, but will you be watching and talking about the live-action Kim Possible movie or Disney Channel next month? You know,
yeah, listen, I saw a trailer for it or something, and I thought it was a parody trailer because it looked bad, man, like really fucking bad. So I don't know. Maybe, look, I know Corey ain't going to touch it. Maybe we should. If this is what the people want, Miles, who are we to say no?
Sure. I don't know. I look at that. I'm like, man, I love Ryan. If you're watching, can I just say I love how much you actually support this show so much. But one day I'm going to answer whatever you send and go off about it. Because every time you ask me a question or you send in emails, it's always like, shit, I don't know what he's talking about. Like, this is where I'm so lost. I'm like, Christian, I need you for this, because every time he talks about like Kim Possible or like lots of Disney like TV shows, I'm just so lost. And not to say I don't think they're bad. It's just something that's never really under my radar. Kim Possible, hey, if there's a live action movie, yeah, I'm curious to see how that's going to play out. But hey, whatever. If you want us to review it, if Corey doesn't touch on it, sure. You know, sky's the limit. So, Christian, was there any last second things you want to add?
Not to that one, but I got one for Marcus. So there's this movie that I really love that no one loves. It's about 15 years old, though. It's called Southland Tales, and it's by Richard Kelly, the guy who did Donnie Darko. And it's a fucking mess. Like, there was a Cannes cut that was like 3 hours and 30 minutes. And then when they released it, they cut about an hour out of the film and it didn't make it better. But it's one of those like ambitious failures. You know what I mean? I always felt like you could tell that tale in 12 episodes or something much better. So that's my answer to Marcus. But yeah, dude, I'm down for Kim Possible. Let's do it, man. That was a part of my childhood, whether we watched it or not. You know, I was literally singing that theme song yesterday. So I think I have an obligation and a responsibility to Kim Possible.
Okay. Well, hey, that's Christian. Listen, I grew up watching Dragon Ball Z. Dragon Ball Z actually inspired me to go to the gym, to work out, to eat healthy. You know, anime is awesome. Listen, I'm just saying anime is cool. But anyway, non-related to any of that shit, it looks like it is time to go because I am out of topics for today. Let me go ahead and quickly say each and every week, the fact that we do this is such a blessing, and this is, we hit lottery, Christian. You know, we hit gold with what we're doing, and it's because of people like you guys watching and supporting each and every week. The Chat-a-Tat-Tat, thank you guys so much for watching and supporting the show. As always, if you always want to send in emails, you can always do that and reach out to me on whatsintheboxdt@gmail.com, and don't forget to hit up Corey Coleman at kcoolmans@gmail.com for all the stuff he got going on. And we got some things in the works. We have some exciting things in the works that I cannot wait to share with all of you guys in the upcoming months. And Christian, before we finally say goodbye, where can they go ahead and find you?
All right. You can find me on Instagram, Christian.Monster. You can find me on Facebook, Christian Leon Torres. And you can find me, if you want more Christian, I got a podcast on A Little Fire Burning called Where's My Burrito. It's pretty funny. It's stupid, but check it out. I'm friends with some of y'all. I want to be friends with all of y'all. So see ya.
And I also forgot to mention, oh, Todd, thank you so much for defending us on YouTube. The YouTube has been an interesting journey, nevertheless. And it's like people like you, Todd, that supports us to defend us. I really appreciate it. So thank you so much for that. I also wanted to say, because one day I'll come up with some clever, you know, transition to get into Double Toasted, the official merchandise for DoubleToasted.com. Go ahead and check out this store over here where you can find the logo, embroidery hoodie, the outline black t-shirt with the signature white, and all this other stuff right here, phone cases, gift cards, and so much more. Look at this. You know I love fighting games, Christian. One day I better be in some upcoming character select screen because, boy, I'm fucking excited about Mortal Kombat 11, but that's a different conversation for a different day. You guys can also find me on all forms of social media, DJ Miles Music, and that is Miles with a Z because, of course, Christian, every DJ has to spell their name incorrectly and, you know, absurd sometimes. But that is it. I want to say to the chat one more time, thank you guys so much. And yeah, we will be back on next week. And let me go ahead and find this outro video because I'm taking too much time. Here we go. All right, guys, take care.